This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, March 23rd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. AgriPulse Summit features Zeldin and lawmakers. Argentine beef imports won't lower prices, lawmakers say. Fertilizer and food security. Spring is officially here, typically a time when all eyes look to the sky as key plantings begin across the northern hemisphere. Yet as war in the Middle East enters a fourth week, producers are also watching fertilizer and fuel costs climb higher. Since February, the average farm diesel price is up more than a dollar a gallon in both Iowa and Illinois, according to USDA data. For fertilizer, Illinois saw a whopping increase of more than $230 a ton for urea. Such historic increases will impact farmers this spring, according to John Newton, Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis at the American Farm Bureau Federation. Newton is discussing ag trends at the annual AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit today. Other speakers at the summit include EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, Chief Ag Trade Negotiator Julie Callahan, and leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. The average price of U.S. diesel, $5.25 a gallon as of yesterday, up $3.71 from a month ago and $3.60 a year ago. We're dealing with hyperinflation and low commodity prices, and the two don't mix. John Schroeder, corn and soybean farmer in Ohio, tells AgriPulse, it's a setup for disaster. The week is full of events with ag, food, and energy leaders weighing in on the outlook for policy, supply chains, and consumer trends. Lobbying fights around the pending biofuel regulations also are in full force. What happens with the Strait of Hormuz as U.S. and Iran tensions climb over the crucial global choke point for fuel and fertilizer shipments will hang over everything this week, including with an event, potentially hundreds of farmers at the White House on Friday. For more on this week's D.C. Policy Agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead. Two Ag Committee Democrats will argue to President Trump and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins today that recent efforts to increase imports of Argentine beef will do little to lower prices while spurring market volatility. Last month, the administration temporarily increased a tariff rate quota for Argentine beef for 2026 by 80,000 metric tons. Only 2% of imported beef came from Argentina in 2024. Economists indicate higher imports are unlikely to reduce prices meaningfully, although they may boost margins for major food companies. Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas and Gabe Vasquez of New Mexico write in a letter shared exclusively with AgriPulse. The announcement, they argue, is increasing market volatility at a time when American producers need support and not sabotage. During the recent House Farm Bill markup, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle expressed concern over the administration's decision to increase imports of Argentine beef. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Successive administrations have prioritized addressing choke points in critical mineral supply chains as the U.S. seeks to strengthen its national security and reduce reliance on China. In a submission to the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, Michigan Potash Company argues that food security should, quote, rank equivalent to defense in these efforts. The U.S. imports more than 90% of the potash it needs, and the global market is controlled by a handful of foreign players, the company argues. A commercially viable and fully permitted domestic deposit exists in the U.S. Corn Belt, the company notes, but price volatility makes investors wary of new projects. Price floors and border adjustment measures would facilitate extraction, the company says. USTR has been collecting public comments on how to design a plurilateral critical minerals agreement to foster supply chains among like-minded partners. Both potash and phosphate were added to the critical minerals list last year, could stand to benefit from recent efforts to shore up domestic supply. Workers at a Minnesota dairy processing and shipping facility are striking over wages and other issues. That, according to local Teamsters Union Division, announced on Friday at a press release, Teamsters Local 471 Secretary Treasurer Lyndon Johnson said workers at an Associated Milk Producers Incorporated dairy facility in Painesville, Minnesota, are striking over wages, health care, and job protections. Workers are also seeking a guarantee that they would be able to keep their jobs and union contract if the plant's ownership changes. According to AMPI's website, the facility processes up to 4 million pounds of milk daily and produces up to 340,000 pounds of barrel cheese. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins is emphasizing the importance of reshoring fertilizer production in the U.S. as the war with Iran continues. She told Fox News' Peter Ducey Sunday that a supermajority, almost all of our farmers, put their fertilizer orders in last fall, leaving 20 to 25% with decisions to make about what they want to do to their plant. Some could pivot to soybeans, she said. We've got to reshore our fertilizer back to America, Rollins said. We're going to be working on that for the long term. She also reiterated the Trump administration position that the hostilities with Iran are a temporary conflict that should have no long-term effect on food prices. The head of the American Soybean Association says higher biofuel blending requirements from EPA would set a floor that would be difficult to reduce. There's always the possibility that renewable volume obligations could go down under a new administration, ASA CEO Steve Sinske says on this week's AgriPulse Open Mic. But I think once you demonstrate that you can produce and people make the investments, I think it's hard to lower them. EPA proposed a total RVO of about 24 billion gallons in June, above industry requests. The final rule is under review by the Office of Management and Budget. But Sinske also warns that if year-round E15 legislation contains permanent wholesale exemptions for small refineries that would undermine the value of the renewable volume obligations by hundreds of millions of gallons. Sinske says it's important that supporters of year-round E15 have to hold fast and make sure that we don't agree to almost anything. Here's today's final word. I think you're seeing the industry trying to rebuild as a whole. Does this put a damper on things? You bet. You've got to reassess everything, but I don't want to speak for them because I know how hardy the cattle person is. That Nebraska Cattlemen's Association President Craig Uden on whether the recent fires that have scorched rangelands in western Nebraska could affect the producers' plans to begin rebuilding the shrunken U.S. beef herd. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, March 23rd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Daly.